Merry Christmas. The sermon series from Isaiah 9 for December is completed today. The title has been, And He Shall Be Called. This week it is, And He Shall Be Called Prince of Peace. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph before they lived together, she was found to be with the child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what had been spoken, but the Lord, through the prophet, looked, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no mortal relation with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father, my Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you. We've been tracking this story from Isaiah, which is from Isaiah chapter 9, where he says, he foretells some 700 years before the birth of Christ, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And during the month of December, during this Advent season building up to Christmas, we've been taking one of those names per week and unpacking that. And today we focus upon Prince of Peace. Last night, nearly 1,100 persons came to worship the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings on Christmas Eve. And we experienced the lights being lowered, the candles being raised. And we all, of course, then sang that traditional song in three different languages, Silent Night, Holy Night. And it was a wonderful setting, a heavenly feeling. It was beautiful. It was peace-filled. But it wasn't really a peace-filled situation 2,000 years ago for Christ as he entered the world on that first Christmas. We as believers today tend to over-dramatize everything that happened and what was going on in that particular historical context. It was anything but peaceful in terms of what was going on locally. We know that there was one by the name of Caesar Augustus who was in power. Remember how the Christmas story goes? In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Who likes to pay taxes? Exactly. But he was calling them together, and he was calling them together so that he might squeeze things just a little bit tighter. And not only was it a financial oppression, but Caesar was not your regular garden variety of a king, of an emperor. People crossed him. People died. Not a very peaceful scenario. And not only from his point of view, but you also may recall another one by the name of King Herod, who upon Christ's birth and conversation with the wise men discovered that this was going to be a newborn king, a threat to him. And so as he hears about this birth of a quote-unquote newborn king, he immediately calls for an extermination of all Jewish babies 2 years old and younger. Hardly a peaceful scene. So just to say that the political, the social, the religious climates were anything but peace-filled, it was indeed a war zone run by dictators who ruled with an iron fist. And it is this setting in which the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, was born on that first Christmas day, for indeed the world needed peace. Well, not a whole lot has changed in the last 2,000 years. We still experience turmoil, terrorism, violence, greed, hunger, racial divisions, war, cop killings, crime. And you know, it's not just something that happens out there. It happens also right here in the United States of America, in Texas, and many of these even in our own community. Our society is far from a silent night, holy night. But we all yearn to experience that sleeping in heavenly peace. And we know from another carol, which says, Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. For our Savior entered this world of confusion, our world of inhumanities and insanity, to offer a peace that passes all human understanding. One which will keep our hearts and souls in faith with Christ Jesus, especially in the midst of chaos and worries and problems and fears. But it also takes a willing heart, a heart of faith, one in which the Christ child can be born, so that we, as we receive the peace of God, can celebrate that ceasefire which He offers us. There's a story told, it's a true story, which goes back 102 years ago last night. It was December 24th, 1914. And it was on the Western Front. What was happening at that time but World War I? Thousands of Allied troops laid down their arms, put down their rifles, and they climbed out of their foxholes, and they spent Christmas with guess who? The German enemy. It actually began with the Germans. They began singing Christmas carols from their foxholes, one of which was, O come, all ye faithful. And that was followed by shouts of Merry Christmas, and then returned from the other foxholes, from the Allies, Merry Christmas back to you. I don't know which brave soul climbed out of that foxhole first, but praise and glory be to him for doing so. But he crawled out of the foxhole, and others joined him, and they were not armed. They met in the middle, that place called No Man's Land. It was about 100 feet between barbed wire. And guess what they did? They sang more Christmas carols. They played soccer. They played cards. They smoked cigarettes. They ate. They drank. They laughed. They buried some of the dead, the common dead that laid in the middle. It's what's known as a miracle in the midst of mayhem, whereby peace was experienced in the middle of war. The fighting did resume later, as we know, but it's known in history as, quote unquote, a short peace in a terrible war. God initiated in Jesus Christ, crossing the battle lines, entering that place that you might call no man's land, and instead of destroying us, instead of pulling a gun from behind his back or destroying us, giving us the punishment that we would have deserved, he lays down his arms by laying down his son and giving his son's life. The baby Jesus becomes the Prince of Peace as we sing, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners are reconciled. You see, it's because of God offering His Son, making peace with sinners, that we receive through the blood of Jesus Christ a peace with Him. In Jesus Christ, we are made righteous with God. Without Jesus Christ and His shedding of His blood upon the cross, we are all lost. But God comes down in the person of Jesus. But here's the point of our message today. It's not just about us. We do receive God's peace. We do receive the celebration of His goodness and His grace and His mercy for us. But we are then called to share that peace with those around us. You see, it makes the sign of a cross, doesn't it? God extends peace to sinners so that peace might be extended to one another. 2 Corinthians 5 says it this way, all this is from God who reconciled us, made peace to himself through Christ, and has then given us the ministry of reconciliation, peacemaking with one another. We know where some of those battle zones are in our own lives, in our own community, in our own state and world. And you know, it's easy to share the peace, as we will do later in this service. It's easy to share the peace with those that we like. It's easy to share the peace with those that we are not at odds with. But you know, the scripture says that even unbelievers do that kind of thing. It is a unique thing for us as Christians to take what God has given us in the birth of Jesus and to extend that Prince of Peace to one another. God knows that those places do exist in our own hearts and in our own lives. Sometimes it's wives and husbands who are having discord. Sometimes it's brothers and sisters over such things as inheritance. Fathers and sons, mothers and daughters over differences of opinion. Christians and Muslims. People of various race colors. What difference does the Prince of Peace make if we don't allow what he has given to us to be extended to those around us? Remember, Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. And having the Prince of Peace in my life is the beginning of that, but it can't be the end of that. See, Jesus is born in the mangers of our hearts, but he's not intended to stay little. He's not intended to stay small within us, but to grow us and to grow us outside of ourselves so that it's not just about me and God. It's about me and God extended to one another, particularly in those places of discord. This young baby Jesus would grow up and later say on a Sermon on a Mount, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." God's children are those who continue to share the peace that has been extended to us. There was a family who gathered, like many of us gathered last weekend, this weekend, or next weekend, and celebrated Christmas. And part of that Christmas, of course, is gathering for a meal. And so everybody in this particular tradition would bring a bit to contribute, sort of like a covered dish. They'd bring their favorite dishes to the event: turkey and dressing, green bean casserole, fresh cranberries, buttered yams, pecan pie, hot rolls, and the coveted dish of all, the most coveted dish on the table, was Oma's special snow peas salad. It actually was a 125-year tradition. Not that Oma was 125 years old, but she had received it from her mother, who had received it from her mother in terms of recipe form. And so this family gathered together. They read the Christmas story. They shared a prayer as they held hands. And then they began to send the food around the table, left to right or right to left this year. It doesn't matter, just send the food. It was noticed by little Jimmy that Oma's snow pea salad somehow got stopped at Sarah's place. And so he piped up and he said, Sarah, are you going to keep that all to yourself, or are you going to pass the peas? Pass the peace. Pass the peace, Christians. It's our call, our unique opportunity to a witness in a world that needs to experience such peace. St. Francis said it the best: "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." May we all find the place in our hearts, the place in our families, the places in our community, not to keep the Prince of Peace to ourselves, but to pass the peace. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.